Hello and welcome to A Woman's Heart. This is Lisa Granger. Have you ever thought you were not good enough or you had messed up too bad? You're not the only one. Sandra Jones knows what it is like to look to the world only to find yourself exhausted, depressed, and hopeless. That's when she gave everything to Jesus and found the freedom that comes from finding our identity in the one who created us to be his beautiful masterpiece. When our identity is in Jesus, we have a hope that will never let us down. I have put together 8 verses on hope that have spoken to me. You can get this free resource on my website at lisagranger.com/verses of hope. Now let's tune in to Sandra Jones. Welcome to A Woman's Heart. We have a special treat. We have Sandra Jones with us here today. And unfortunately, you can't see what a beautiful, beautiful woman of God that she is on the screen. But I know that you will hear that through her words. So welcome today, Sandra.
Thank you so much. It is an absolute honor to be here with you today.
I have thoroughly enjoyed being able to get to know you, but I want my audience to get to know you a little as well. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and something fun that isn't normally in your bio?
Well, let's see here. I'm old to start with.
You're experienced.
I'll go with that. That sounds good.
Yes.
No, I am a mom of 3 kids. I have 6 grown grandkids and 1 absolutely spoiled fur baby. Been married for 34 years. We do ministry together. We do street ministry. We do prison ministry, women's events, and each and everything that he calls me to do, I just look at it as my next God adventure.
Ah.
And I love my God adventures. You know,
and it shows.
Well, he's taken me some places, you know, introduced me to some people, and I'm like, oh, God, I think you might have got the wrong girl today. You must have been looking for her over there. And he's always like, no, I need you here, you know. And like I say, we have been to some marvelous places. We have been to some places that I have driven down the street getting there and me going, okay, God, I know you said go here, but I'm just telling you right now, you need to be in this car with me. Mm-hmm. You need to be with me when I get out. As a matter of fact, you go on in before me and then I'll come on in.
Yes, yes, yes. And you have had a wide and varied ministry, and you are also incredibly creative and gifted and talented on that end as well. I have been enjoying some of your goodies, and I'm always looking forward to reading about your next God adventures. And one of the things that when we spoke about having you on that you really felt tugging at your heart was to share about our identity in Christ. And there's so many ways that that can go. And I'm excited to hear what you have to share with us today, because there's just so many ways that that affects what we do and how we view our own God adventures in life.
It is, you know, because so many times we get so caught up in what other people say we are. Mm-hmm. We get caught up in what the world tells us that we are supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, we try to be that perfect mom. We try to be the perfect wife, the daughter, the sister, the friend. And you just feel like that you're standing there and everybody has got a hold of you and they're pulling in a different direction. And they're saying, you know, you're supposed to be like this. You're supposed to dress like this. Your home's supposed to look like this, you know, and we can't.
No.
We cannot be all of those millions of things to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We have to step back and we have to, you know, look at ourselves and we have to say, you know, what does he say we are?
Yeah.
We have to stop comparing ourselves to others. We have to look on the inside of ourselves and we have to say, God, what is it that you want me to be? You know, mm-hmm. What did you create me to be? And then we even get into that part of it and we start comparing ourselves to the women in the Bible. And we're like, we can't even do that because we are like, how could we have that much faith? You know, look what she did. I can't do that. I'm not equipped to do that. But we also have to remember that every one of those women that were in the Bible were everyday women, just exactly like we are.
Yeah.
And some of them that he pulled and gave to me whenever I was going back over and just trying to get all this pulled together. We go over in Luke 8:1, we meet Mary Magdalene.
She's a very well-known character, and we think of her towards the end, and she was the one there at the cross, and they're the first one at the tomb, but that's not where she started.
No. You know, she started out as a demon-possessed woman.
Mm.
You know, and we say that word demon, and we think, oh my gosh, but I'm not a demon-possessed woman. But a demon can be so many different things in our life. Mm-hmm. You know, just like that right there, that comparison,
yeah,
that can become a huge demon to us because it takes over our lives trying to compare our lives and what our lives look like, you know, comparing it to another family or comparing it to what the world says, what social media says that we're supposed to be.
Yeah, and we so often see only the polished up, filtered outsides on social media.
Goodness, yes. You know, as you said earlier, we do have a business where I redo furniture and hats and all of this, and I stage those pieces. You know, you see the pretty finished product.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the behind the scenes where, you know, the whole shop is in chaos. And that is our way our lives are on social media, you know, but it gives everyone that mindset of, oh my goodness, this is the way my house has to look 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
No one's house looks like that 24/7.
No, it does not.
Not if we live in it. But, you know, that can be. But we look at her and we see where she started out. We move into Mark and we see the woman with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had an illness. That illness for each one of us could be battling cancer. We could be battling depression. We could be living outside of the terms of what he says we're supposed to. I mean, again, the list goes on and on for the different types of illnesses that we could be going through. You know, sometimes we think of something when someone says, you know, I suffer from thyroid disease, and we kind of really blow that off, but that is a really big disease.
Yeah, it is.
It affects so many parts of our minds and physical. So, you know, there's, again, that long list of illnesses that we could be going through.
Yeah, and sometimes it can be difficult when you have, it's one thing to have an illness that people know about and can see, but I also have friends that suffer from different things that from the outside, they look fine. And so when they say they're not feeling good, they kind of feel like people are, oh, well, you're just lazy. You're just not. But it's very, very real. And it can be maybe not to the extent that the woman with the issue of blood had as being a social outcast because she was then considered unclean. But depending on what we're suffering from, there may be some stigmas attached to it where people do kind of keep their distance. And so there's that added piece of then feeling unclean or not accepted socially while they're dealing with the disease, and that just adds to it all.
Exactly. You know, I think of new mothers that suffer from postpartum depression. I mean, that is a big one right there because they don't even understand what they're going through. You know, I look at her as I'm sure she did not understand, you know, why is this happening to me?
Yeah, this should be a happy time. Why am I not happy?
Exactly. You know, so we can see these things, you know, but we think we can't get where they got, but we can.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the Samaritan woman. She was divorced 5 times.
Yeah.
And living with another man. There you go. How many women do we have that find themselves divorced, but then they pull themselves back because they think that they're an outcast.
Mm-hmm.
But then we don't know exactly why that they were in the situations that they were in. He gives us a little bit of information on each one of them. In our today world, that's what we have also, is a little bit of information on women that we come in contact with.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, definitely. And I remember there's a verse that has stuck with me, or a saying that someone said you never know what's brewing in someone else's teapot.
Exactly. And just as you said, you know, we see the outside picture, but sometimes we don't know what that turmoil is that's going on the inside, you know. But maybe one of these women we can relate to. Yeah. Maybe there are bits and pieces of each one of them that we can wrap up and say, oh, I understand how she felt on that, you know. Mm-hmm. But we all have that one thing in common. We are not perfect. We have all done something in our past, and our past could have been this morning that we did something.
Yes, my day always looks really good until I put my feet on the floor.
Exactly. But each one of these women had an appointment with him. Mm-hmm. Each lady that can hear these words, each lady that is taking a breath right now, has an appointment with the Father.
Yes, they do.
You know, he did not avoid these women. He's not trying to avoid us today. He just wants to seek us out, and he's asking us to seek him out.
Yeah.
And just as he did for each one of these women, he kept that appointment. He didn't avoid it. He didn't avoid them. He's not going to avoid any one of us.
Yeah.
Because we go back to Mary Magdalene. And yes, she had the demons, which we, you know, could be anything. But he removed every one of those demons from her. He told her to come and to follow him. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned earlier, she was the first person to see Christ at the resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. She was the first one. And then he told her to go tell everybody else. So she was the first missionary. She was the first preacher.
So, you know, you find yourself there going, well, I'm just battling this, you know, I'm battling this overeating, I'm battling, you know, whatever your demon is. Mm-hmm. And you think, I could never be like her. Yes, you can. Because he can remove every bit of all that garbage out of there. And he can take you and he can use you. He can let you be the first one to see him in your life and then take you on to share and be that preacher, be that minister, be that woman that is there to reach out and pick up that next woman.
Yeah. And I love with the woman with the issue of blood that she was not supposed to touch anyone. She was considered unclean. And so many times when we are sick with whatever the issue is in our life, we think we can't, you know, we can't touch him. She could have been in serious trouble for reaching out and touching a rabbi. But I love that he was willing, as you mentioned, he is seeking us out. And we can't, he is willing to touch us because he is so clean. His cleanness will make us clean versus us being unclean makes him unclean. And I just, when you pointed out that, yeah, he seeks us out and he can touch us. He's willing to touch us in whatever condition we're in. I love that.
I know it. I mean, I know for myself, the night that I sit there wanting to take my life and tried to figure out exactly how to do that, and him reach down and just wrap his arms around me and just speak those words to me that was not the time, that now I was at a place where he could actually heal me.
Wow.
Because I had been preventing him from stepping into my life. You know, I knew who he was, but I had put that block up and wouldn't let him in my life. I wouldn't let him heal me. And it was through those crying out moments right then that he reached down. He came and kept that appointment with me that I didn't even know I had with him. But he's like, no, that's mine right there. And now we can heal. We can start this, you know, this process of healing. And that's what he did with her. Mm-hmm. He started that process the moment that she reached up and she grabbed hold of that hem. He started the process of that healing with her. And I love the way he says, you know, so many times we end that out with, he said, you know, her faith had healed her and go in peace. But actually the way that that says it back in the original text is it says he healed her and tells her to go into peace. And be freed from her suffering. And that has always stuck with me. So that that one little change of word, into peace, because so many times we tell people, you know, just, you know, we pray peace over them, go in peace. And then we're still standing there and we're going, but how do you find that peace?
Yeah.
You know, and what he just spoke to her was you go into peace. You walk in that peace that I have just flooded you with.
Yeah. Yeah. As you mentioned, a lot of times we hear someone say, go in peace, or we go, oh, I'm going to walk in peace. But is that really our experience? It sounds really good. It sounds very nice and Christian-y. Yeah. And it sounds really good. But is that really, how do we truly walk it out in the middle of messy stuff and in the healing? Because the healing process is not, it's not just, oh, Band-Aid's off, all done.
Yeah, no, that healing process is, that's exactly what it is. It is a process, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I tell the girls all the time. You know, when he broke those chains off of me, it wasn't like Wonder Woman, throw your arms up and all those chains go flying everywhere.
You didn't go spinning in a circle and go.
It was more like one little chain clicking at a time, you know, and that took a process of years. It wasn't just overnight, but he never left.
Amen.
He just kept breaking one more off, one more off. And that's what he wants to do, because when we find out who he is, then we start to realize what our identity in him is. Mm-hmm. I mean, he told the adulterous woman, he didn't condemn her.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we have done. And we get so hung up on that, well, I did this, I did this, I did that. How could he love me? And he's just saying, come sit at my feet.
Yeah.
Come let me put my hand on your cheek. Let me raise your face up and tell you who you are in me. Because there is not one single solitary thing that any one woman has ever done or said that our Father will not forgive. We have to be willing to listen to him. We have to be willing to come before him. We have to be willing to sit at his feet. Mm-hmm. And just like he told the woman at the well, he gave her the living water. But what did he say after that? Go and tell everybody.
Yes, go and tell everybody.
And that's it. You know, we use social media to tell everything else. Let's tell them about our Jesus.
Yeah.
Let's tell them what he did, you know. And that is it, because our identity is truly rooted in him. You know, mm-hmm. It's not rooted in all of this stuff that we go through daily. That's not where our roots are. Our roots are in him. And that starts by seeking him out. It starts by calling out to him, you know, and just letting him start showing us day by day, minute by minute. Mm-hmm. And when he gives that to you, meditate on that day. You don't have to become a Bible scholar overnight. Many times, most that he ever speaks to me, I will be standing at my kitchen sink washing dishes or sitting and painting a piece of furniture.
There you go. That's where he met so many people, just in their everyday lives. They weren't in the synagogue. Weren't already kneeling and praying, which, you know, that it was the Middle Eastern lifestyle, but he would meet them where they were, in the middle of what they were doing. They weren't expecting it. And so why wouldn't he talk to you when you're washing the dishes or doing laundry or running an errand or something like that? He can absolutely meet you right then and there. There's a song on the radio, and the artist is singing about how he met him in a car in a parking lot. So he can meet us anywhere, anytime that he wants to.
We just have to be willing to listen for him.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes we are so engulfed in what is going on around us that we miss his voice, or we're waiting for it to be like a 4th of July explosion. And most of the time, things are not.
Yeah, no, I've heard you really don't need 4 angel visitations and some fireworks to confirm that you're supposed to go do something nice for somebody.
Exactly. It's usually just that little nudge in the back of your mind saying, you know, you need to step over here. Mm-hmm. You need to speak to that woman in the Walmart line, the grocery checkout line. You know, just turn around and smile at them. Ask them how they're doing.
Yeah.
Those little things are him speaking to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not like the blue light special at Kmart. You know, you're not...
Yeah. And hopefully some people, I don't know if my children even would get that reference. It's been a while. I'm like, of course, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm going, I'm not sure if my children would. But that also goes to sometimes we miss some of the things in the Bible because he talks about what is going on then and we don't necessarily get it. But there's still so much richness in that. And one of the things that I know we've talked a lot about, our knowing our identity in Christ and how important it is and how he can meet us anytime, anywhere. There's nothing we've done that means that we are untouchable by him. And I also know that at times I've heard that and it sounds really good. And yes, I want to do it. But how do you actually walk it out and make that your experience? And you started touching on some of that, in that to really get that and root ourselves in that identity as we do, we need to seek him and let him, allow him to really come in and dig out and work out some of that stuff. And I wanted to know, what were some of the other things? Because I'm sure you have some ideas on other ways that we can actually walk that out and make that our experience.
You know, and that is so true, because just like every one of these women that I have mentioned, they all had a past.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us has a past.
Yes.
But the good news of that is God can take those pieces from our past,
mm-hmm.
and he will create a garment of beauty, of purpose, of uniqueness,
mm-hmm.
of realness.
Yes.
And honestly, we have to just, and I know it is so easy for these words to be spoken, lay it all down at his feet. And you're sitting there going, how do I do that?
There are times I've literally written down what it is on a piece of paper, put it on the altar at church, put it in the fireplace and burned it. There's sometimes I physically will write it down.
Yes. And sometimes that's what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you need to scream and shout, scream and shout. If you need to throw something and break it, throw it and break it. Whatever will bring that release to you, to let him say, okay, now you are at a spot where I can heal you. Because let's look at him as our master tailor. He wants to use every moment in our life for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, everything that we have done, no matter how bad or how good, he can take it and he can stitch it together. And every patch of our lives, he takes them and he just starts weaving it and he starts sewing it together until he has made us into something beautiful in his eyes.
Yes.
And the older I get, the more and more I realize this. We have to quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about us. And we have to get up every morning and say, Father, what is it you would have me do today? How do you want to see me today?
Yeah.
And when we start seeking that right there out, that's when we start getting those little messages of, I need you to step over there and talk to them. I need you to speak these words. I need you to take the casserole next door to your neighbor because she's battling depression. She's having a hard time today.
Yeah.
Are we going to face some adversity in that in our lives? Absolutely. Are we going to go through some fires to get all that mess burned up and out of there? Absolutely. But if we continue to praise Him, and if we, because we have that Savior who wants to take all of those pieces, all those remnants, and He wants to make it into that garment of praise to Him. And just think of it. He takes all those torn scraps, all those ragged remnants, all those tangled threads.
Yep.
And He just starts sewing it together. Because He created you for a purpose. He created that purpose before your name was ever spoken on this earth. He created you to be a beautiful woman in His image. Therefore, every part of your life has value to Him.
Yeah. And I love the view that He's working on this and making it beautiful. But sometimes we only see the underside, because I've done needlepoint and the top of it looks very different than the bottom. And I think sometimes we look up from the bottom and see the ragged threads and the seams and everything else. And we don't see what He sees from the top, that it is a beautiful, it is a beautiful masterpiece.
You know, but if you take that vision right there, as you were speaking, that all I could see is you see that underneath side, there's those fires you go through. There's those valleys mm-hmm. that you're in. There's those days that you can't get up off of the sofa from crying because you're so heartbroken over yeah. something. But then He just takes it and He flips it over.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that beautiful masterpiece right there. And He stands back and He says, "That's my daughter right there. That's my girl mm-hmm. right there."
Yeah.
And every step that you take, He is right there with you.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, Sandra, I know we could probably carry on for quite a while, but to start kind of wrapping it up, what would you say along the lines with, you know, with the identity? We've talked about how important that is and going forward and walking in that. But what would you say to encourage someone who is in front of you to go ahead and step out and do what God is calling them to do?
I'd like to share this right here. It's called Something Beautiful by Gloria Gaither.
Okay.
It says, "Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life. If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, they were my dreams at the start. And hope for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes and my castles all crumbled. My fortune turned to loss, so I wrapped it all in the rags of life and laid it at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful of my life."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think that, and that is beautiful. Well, Sandra, if someone wants to get some more of your wisdom, connect with you, keep track of you, and know what you're up to, what is the best way for them to connect with you?
They can connect with me at SandraJonesSpeaks.com.
Okay.
Or I am on Facebook at Sandra Jones Speaks, and they can reach out to me anytime, day or night. If they find themselves in the middle of that 3 o'clock midnight hour and they need someone to speak with, call me, connect
yes.
with me.
Yeah.
You know,
and I know they can.
Yes.
I know they can. Thank you. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today and encouraging us and just offering us all of your wisdom in that. Thanks so much, Sandra.
Thank you. Be blessed.
Thanks so much for joining me today on A Woman's Heart. I'm Lisa Granger. I hope you are encouraged by our conversation with Sandra Jones today. And if you could use some more hope from God's Word, I have a free resource on my website with 8 verses of hope.
I appreciate you listening, and make sure to follow on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. And please leave a rating or review. It means so much to me and helps others to find the encouragement on the podcast as well. Have a blessed day.